Thank you for listening to the Shanghai Community Fellowship Podcast. To find out more about the SCF community, listen to sermons, and upcoming events, visit us at shanghaifellowship.org.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, and we recognize that you are in our midst, Lord, where two and three gather in your name, there you are, Lord. And we pray that as we sit here, Lord, we pray against short-term memory. We pray, Lord, that you continue, Lord, to bring your word to life, Lord, and that as we continue to hear your word, Lord, that you will take it to our hearts, and that would change how we think, would change how we live our lives, would change how we truly present Jesus to one another. We thank you, Lord, for this place. We thank you, Lord, for the body of Christ that's presented here, Lord. But we thank you, Lord, more than anything, Lord, for calling us to be this and here in Shanghai and in China in a time like this, Lord. We pray that again and again, Lord, that we are worthy of the call that you have for us, Lord, and we continue, Lord, to proclaim your truth, Lord, and to live it out, Lord, with hearts that are open and ready to obey. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. So some people would say that a picture or image speaks louder than words. And it was an image as a woman sat down in front of me with tears streaming down her face, that brought me into thinking about compassion in perhaps a way that I haven't before. Let my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God. You might have heard these words before, maybe in a song, in a worship song that was written in the late 2000s, and you might have sang those words in that song. And some people ask, like, where did those lyrics come from? And it reminds me, it's actually a prayer. Last week, we had a guest speaker here with us, and she shared, Gunilla Bauman shared with us about the time that her son, Dan Bauman, a missionary that was in prison in Iran for 9 weeks. And she was sharing that, like, around the time when she was in a communal prayer time with other believers, this is the prayer that she spoke it out. God, I pray that Dan is not released from prison until all of your purposes are fulfilled. And I don't know about you, but that kind of prayer is not a prayer that is easy to say. It reminds me of Jesus saying, you know, like, yeah, if this cup can be taken away, take it, but if not, that your will be done. And in so many ways, Gunilla came into that place where she prayed that for her son, and really, he spent 9 weeks in prison, and so much happened in that time that God really fulfilled everything that he had in Dan's life in that time. So coming to a place where we are willing to say a prayer that kind of goes against everything that you can imagine. Imagine if it was your son that was in prison. Would you have that kind of faith that would be willing to pray a prayer like that? So it comes into the prayer of today. Let my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God. This is not in a Bible verse written, but it's truly a prayer. And it was a man named Bob who wrote these words in his Bible after traveling in Asia and seeing poverty and much, much need around him. After going to poor places and preaching the word of God, he got into this missionary school. And in this missionary school, he ended up preaching the word. And in that day, one particular girl accepted Jesus Christ, and he said, you know, like, you go and proclaim that you believe in Jesus. This girl, this is a school that was for missionary kids, but also for kids in poor areas and orphans. And this little girl was actually a girl that had a family, born in a poor family. And as she went home that day, she spoke that, and she told that to her parents, but her parents had a different religion. And at that point, she got beaten, as she decided not to deny the faith that she had just accepted. The next day, this girl shows up in the school, and the principal, who was a Christian and a relief worker, comes to this guy, Bob, and says, look at her, you know, like, she has lost everything. What are you gonna do about her? At that point, he had never really felt like how much of the consequences of his preaching and would happen in the life of this little girl. And he kind of looked at this principal and said, would you take care of her? And the principal said, we can't, the organization that we are part of cannot take care of more girls. We just financially can't do that. And then he, moved by that and looking at this girl who is crying, says, I'll send you money, whatever I have right now, and I'll continue to help as I can. At that point, it was really the beginning, a few years later, of an organization called World Vision, an evangelical organization that focuses on the physical needs of the poor in third world nations, and which continues to do that to this day. His name was Robert Pierce. And the words that he wrote in the Bible, in his own Bible, let my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God, continue to resonate today. And there is no doubt that many children and those in need have had their lives changed because of that specific prayer. Bob's life was far from perfect, and yet God used him. If you have the chance, look at his biography. There's so much in that that you see really the heart of God behind it. But his story reminds me of what Pastor Dale shared last week, of how the disciples, although with so much that they did sometimes right and sometimes wrong, yet God used them. Broken vessels like you and me, broken vessels that God continues to use today. So, starting with that, think about that bold but honest prayer. Let my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God. For that to be said, we really have to trust in God. Trust in the God who sees. El Roi. In Genesis 16, we read about a story of Hagar. Hagar was a runaway pregnant slave who meets God in the desert. She was the slave of Abraham and Sarai, and in arguments and discussion with them, that she ends up running away. And while she's in the desert, Genesis 16, verse 11, it says, the angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now pregnant and you give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. The angel goes and meets her in the desert, and in that encounter, he speaks to her. In the verse 13, going ahead, where she gives him, she ends up saying to him, gives him the name El Roi, the God who sees me. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me, for she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. In another version, it says, thereafter, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, you are the God who sees me. She also said, have I truly seen the one who sees me? Do you believe that God sees you? God doesn't only hear us when we pray. He sees us too. For praying a prayer like that, we need to trust in a God who is moved by compassion. We continue then. In the New Testament, we read about the life of Jesus as the concrete embodiment of God's compassion in the world. We see Jesus moved by a physical need. In Mark 1, 40 to 42, we're going to read about a story of a man who is healed from his leprosy. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. If you're willing, you can heal me and make me clean, he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said. Be healed. Instantly, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. There are so many instances that you see Jesus doing that over and over and over again. He didn't just see the need, but he jumped into it. You also see Jesus be moved by a spiritual need. In Matthew 9:35-38, it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." He's not just aware of our physical needs, he's also aware of our spiritual needs. And he's moved by compassion. And this word, compassion, in these two passages, it's not just a compassion that comes out of feelings. They usually say that this passion that comes from within. In that time, they would say that one, that this feeling, this compassion that comes from one's bowels. It's very graphic, if you think about it. It comes from within. It moves you. It kind of comes and leads you, it moves you into action. Have compassion, because it is what they thought, that in the bowels, that the thought to be of love and pity would be in there. So Jesus was moved within him by compassion. To pray a prayer like that, we need to trust in the God who empowers and calls us to do the same. We see in Colossians 3:12, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and peace." In another version, it says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering." And in a conversation recently with an old friend who had spent some time really digging into the Word of God in Greek, he kind of shared with me this insight about this verse, that really Paul commands us to put on ourselves. The middle voice here is reflexive, a heart or bowels, guts in those days of compassion. In the Greek grammar, he mentioned that it suggests that the next four words are like a definition of how to do it. How do we put on compassion? Through kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This is really where compassion resides. So, a couple of weeks ago, I had the chance to be part of one of the ministries that being part of SCF for many, more than 10 plus years now, where we usually go to different parts of China and we deliver artificial limbs. It's something that it's a very practical need. And we've been doing this for, as I mentioned, like years and years. And talking to the leader of this ministry, this project, he mentioned that we've usually every year distribute about 200 artificial limbs. And we go to those places, different areas, and we do a couple of trips every time. And as we go there, it's like really little towns. It can be close to Shanghai, or at that time when I just went to this trip a couple of weeks ago, it was in the south of Yunnan. And they are very tiny towns, but we are partnering with different organizations, local organizations. As we get there, we have to interview different people, you know, just to go through and really check, you know, what, like, is there something that we can help with? And do you come from a a household that cannot really afford those limbs and all of that. So we go and we have smaller teams. I usually tell this, if you ever had a chance to go to one of those trips, you not only see China in a different perspective, but you're really able to see what the church is doing through something that's very practical and your chance to really be part of that. So if you ever had the chance to go, I encourage you to do it. And as we went, we usually have like really few dozen interviews that we have to do per day and as the different teams come together. And in this specific trip, I was partnering with someone. My Chinese is not that great, although I've came to China, 16 years ago. I'm still working on it. But as we partnered with someone that could actually speak fluently Chinese, we end up interviewing, like sometimes it would be one person coming in, sometimes it would be this person with someone from home, a daughter, a son. And at that point, I'm sitting there, and as this woman sat down in front of me with tears streaming down her face, it really brought me to thinking about compassion in perhaps a way that I haven't before. She was from a minority group, and she didn't even dare to look at me in the eye. She just turned on the side while her son-in-law was kind of replying the questions that we had. Because she spoke a different dialect, it was kind of like a line of different translations. So I'm looking at her, and as I see the tears coming down her eyes and not being able to fully communicate with her, the only thing that I do is I turn back and I open my bag and I pull tissues, and I just hand it over to her hand. And she kind of grabs it and starts to wipe down the tears. I put my hand on her knee. And at that point, there was one thing that came to my mind. God, like, I see you. Therefore, God sees you. But as fast as that thought came to my mind, a second thought came to my mind. God sees you. Therefore, I see you. And I almost felt like I needed to ask God for forgiveness, because sometimes it's just very easy to be in the moment and you start to think about your own self-righteousness of how good you are, or, like you're doing something good. But truly, at that moment, God was showing me his heart for her. There was nothing much that I could say. There was nothing much that I could really like try to do to ease the pain that she had, but to really pray a silent prayer and be thankful for things that we do that are very practical that can help people in need. But that image has impacted me. And I think about that, about compassion, the way that God moves in compassion. Do we truly trust in the God that sees us, that doesn't only hear us, but he sees us? A God that's moved by compassion, by physical needs, but spiritual needs. A God that's moved by each and every one of us because he truly, truly loves us. Because see, we love because he first loved us. Do we believe that God has called us to put on this heart of compassion and the willingness to pray a prayer like that? Lord, break my heart for the things that break your heart. So Richard Stern, who is the author of The Hole in the Gospel, wrote an article in the World Vision page, and he said, "When we look at the life of Jesus, we find that he was, as Isaiah described him, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Jesus' heart was continually moved to compassion as he encountered the lame, the sick, the widow, and the orphan. I believe God created us with breakable hearts for this purpose. You might even look at it as a blessing. Only by breaking can our hearts stay tender enough to see as Jesus sees and love as Jesus loves." I believe that even today, Jesus' heart is continually moved with compassion as we encounter the lame, the sick, the widow, and the orphan. Would you ever be willing to pray that prayer? Lord, let my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God. And let this compassion be urged and growth from my inner parts when it really moves me, compels me to do something about it, to actually be able to present Jesus in a very tangible way for those who don't know him yet, and to see the need with a heart of humility, with a heart of meekness, with a heart that is encompassing and embodying Jesus' compassion for others. So as we leave today, another thought that came to my mind at that point when I saw that woman crying was, sometimes it feels like it is easier to have compassion in those who we don't know than for those who are surrounding us, for those who might need compassion every single day, for our family members, for our close friends. So I pray that in that same way that God will be able to show you people as how he sees them, that as our hearts continue to be broken, that will be a continuing thing, that we are able to truly see people as God sees and to live out our faith in a way that's going to change the world. Compassion is not the end. It's not really the end goal as we continue to look to a place where compassion is not going to be necessary anymore because all things will be made new. So we continue to hope in Jesus Christ and continue to hope in the things that are ahead of us. But in the meantime, let our hearts be broken by the things that break the heart of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God who not only hears us, but you're a God who sees us, Lord. And might be people today that are in our midst, Lord, that needs to hear that you are God that sees each and every person. And you know what they're going through. So we pray, Lord, that as we come together, Lord, that you pray, Lord, that you show us, Lord, how to show compassion, Lord, how to live out this compassionate heart to one another, Lord, that when brothers and sisters are in need, that we are able to extend and feel like it is not only them hurting, but we are hurting with them. And we pray, Lord, that you continue, Lord, to create ways that the church can walk out, Lord, truly the compassion of Jesus Christ wherever we go. We again thank you, Lord, for where you called us to be in this time, in this nation. And we pray, Lord, that again, Lord, you make a way, Lord, so that what we believe is not just words that are spoken every Sunday, Lord, but there will be truths that are lived out, Lord, every single day. So let this prayer be a prayer that's true to every single heart. Let our hearts be broken by the things that break your heart. We thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.